We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The hottest Knicks tape you'll find online. Knicks all day. We bleed blue and orange. This is Knicks Fan TV, your one-stop shop for the ultimate New York Knicks fan experience. Throws it down. News, rumors, debates, post-game live streams featuring live callers.
Let's go Knicks, baby!
And now, your host, CP, the NY Fanatic.
We're back on the ride, 9 Feet Lounge, still joined by the best team in radio. You know the plays. My man Ringo's joining us today, Mike the moderator. And we have a superstar special guest. If you're a Knicks fan, or maybe you're not even a Knicks fan, if you're somebody who's trying to find information on the Knicks globally, not just New York, we got the preeminent brother that's doing it right now. That's 40,000 deep. I'm a fan. Moderator's a fan. And he's here today on his maiden voyage. Josh is a fan, and he's here on his maiden voyage at 9 Feet Lounge. Well, that's you. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 9 Feet Lounge, host of Knicks Fans TV, CP, the franchise. What's going on, brother?
Yes, sir. Appreciate you fellas, man.
Nah, no doubt, man. One time for your boys. Yeah.
Hit that thumbs up button.
Subscribe.
No doubt, brother.
In 20 minutes, you may be saying something else, but anyway.
Get my car. I'm getting out of here. Again, brother, we can't thank you enough for spending some time with us, man. Like I said, we're all fans of your show. Watching Knicks Fan TV in August to find out, you know, what the schedule is like.
There ain't nothing else on TV, I guess.
Nah, man, it's not about this.
They can watch the fumble.
Nah, I know. They owe me money.
I'm only joking.
But again, man, let's kind of dive into it, man. You have taken in this, what I call the golden age of the independent. You've taken this regular platform and grown into something where now you rock with Max Kellerman, you're doing events with at the Garden. How did this all start, man? Get us to the very beginning when you was like, I'm a fan of Knicks. And, yeah. You know, we've all experienced the Siberia, the cold chill of the losing years. But how did it get started?
Yeah, so I mean, it started for me just being a fan of New York sports in general. Mm-hmm. You know, right. Being born and raised in the city. Sports is a fabric of our culture.
Right.
And I remember like early days, I used to go to my pops to work. You used to be like take your kid to work day. So yeah. You used to go in the office. He's an engineer. And in the office, you used to hear like on the radio, mm-hmm. You used to hear these dudes like arguing all the back and forth. I'm like, what is that? It was Mike and the Mad Dog.
Yeah.
And he used to listen to that every day. Every day you used to go in there and they just used to go mm-hmm. back and forth right. and arguing. Screaming on top of each other, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. That was 9:50 Lounge doing that. Who in the background? Lounge, that's Big Mouth Kevin.
You know, that was so ingrained in me that I became a fan of it. And, mm-hmm. and sports radio was like, I used to wake up to it, go to sleep to it, mm-hmm. ride in the car to it. I'm mm-hmm. listening to them, all the shows.
Right.
You know, Max Kellerman back in the day, Stephen A., Joe Beningo, all those guys. So
Joe Beningo.
That was just always a part of me, and then when me and the homies used to argue back and forth about sports, it was just natural.
Right.
And so I wanted to recreate that in the digital realm and also represent the culture in a way that, you know, when you see these media players now, Yeah, Stephen A is up there at the top, but it is very few of us really representing, especially in basketball.
Yeah.
You know, and so I thought that was important. And so 2017, I took my camera phone, I went out to the draft, went out to MSG, just started interviewing fans. This is when we drafted Frank.
Right. Yeah.
But at the same time, the Porzingis trade rumors was going on. Yeah. So we got some good footage. I didn't know what I was doing.
The last layer of Phil Jackson.
Yeah. The whole Phil fiasco.
Classic.
Yeah. And I just, you know, from that day, I just threw it up on YouTube, see what the reaction was. And over time, it kind of just evolved. You know, we went from doing recorded content to me saying, you know, I want to do the whole Mike and the Mad Dog thing, taking phone calls and capturing the passion of the city. Because for me, all sports fans are like none other.
Right.
You know, when it comes to sports. And I just felt like I needed to capture that in the digital realm where, you know, you could have on-demand content.
Right.
Just have the fans more involved in the game. Mm-hmm.
So when did you know that from just 2017 going to the draft, kind of really probably doing it because you just wanted to hear you had a voice and you wanted to hear yourself speak and there's platforms for that, to knowing that, you know what, I got a place in this thing. I've carved my own seat. Whereas 10, 15, 20 years prior to this, you have to, you know, go to school or you have to have some type of in. You've created a lane. When did you know that that lane was like more than just me and my friends hearing me talk, but now like I got the masses. I got real media coming at me.
I would say, well, first, you know, little by little we would gain momentum for each interview. So the first interview we ever did was Chris Childs.
Mm.
And from Chris Childs, I sent that interview to the next person, next person, next person.
Right.
Ultimately, we got Alan Hahn on from MSG. So it just kept snowballing. Right. But really what took things off was the Oakley interview.
Mm.
When we got
this is where he got thrown out the garden?
This was yeah, this was after that.
This was after that.
Okay, probably a lot of things to say.
Definitely a lot of stuff to say.
We got the Oakley interview, man. We had thousands of people watching, tuning in, just commenting, going off. Then the whole buzz took on to Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I really knew like we had something on fire was when the national media started picking it up.
Right.
So Michael K. Show took some sound bites from the New York Post. And so it just kept going. And then the pandemic hit. And I was like, damn, what are we going to do? So Chuck D spoke to Chuck. I'm like, yo, Chuck, you know, he's been a big champion of the platform. And I said, you know, what are we going to do? And he put me on to the X-Men.
Right.
Said, yo, call X-Men. He's a fan favorite, former fan favorite. They would love him. And from the X-Men interview, it turned into Rasheed Wallace, turned into Kenyon Martin. And
now, the thing with X-Men, and I did see that one. I didn't watch the whole piece, but maybe you can clear some light for me. And this was actually just came up on a conversation I was having in Clubhouse. Now, the Xavier McDaniel story is obviously X played 1 year with the Knicks, right? And gave the famous Scottie Pippen migraine headache was caused to X. The rumor is that David Falk, Jordan's agent, said, because he was X-Men, Xavier's agent, get him out of New York. And, you know, and that's when X and the Knicks couldn't come up with a game plan. He went to Boston.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of rumors saying that's fake. That's not. Can you clear the air on that?
I asked him personally. I said, did MJ have anything to do with it, with the whole David Falk connection? He was like, nah. I mean, I believe him.
Right.
You know, when we started the show, he came right to it. Like, this is why I left. This is what happened. Because we knew that. That's what the fans wanted to know. Why did the X-Man leave?
Yeah.
A
lot of fans felt like if you would have kept him, you know, you put X-Man in instead of Charles Smith in 93, it might be a different story.
He was the Knicks enforcer.
He was the enforcer. Yeah.
I remember having the poster when I was in high school of Xavier McDaniel choking the crap out of Wes Matthews when he was with Seattle.
I had that
poster right on my wall. Like, this dude, Wes Matthews, looked lifeless in that picture, but it's crazy. Again, we got CP, Knicks Fans TV in the house. Go ahead, Mike. Jump in, bro.
Listen, let me temper it this way. I think the most significant thing about Knicks Fan TV, all right, first and foremost, let me make this clear. I am a consumer of Knicks Fan TV, and the man here will contest that I do super chats.
You made the call while I was in Vegas. I call in. He's calling up.
Yeah, I was a correspondent for Knicks Fan TV, right? But I think the most telling thing of it all is the growth organically of a product. There's no advertisement for Knicks Fan TV. This is strictly word of mouth. This is grassroots. And as a black man, to see you go from, I guess, your woman and your kid and your family to 40,000 individuals, 39,950 you've probably never met. What is that like when you're sitting back, you're on your alone time, you're not on, and you just running this through your mind? What is it that like to you?
Yeah, it's big, man, because, you know, we'll get messages from people that'll say, you know, you took me through a dark time, or your show, you know, I went through a lot of depression, I'm going through this, I'm going through that, and people look to your show to get them through their day, you know, and that's deep, because I never, when I first started, I'm just like, I just want to talk Knicks and let people talk Knicks, but then when you realize that you really have an impact on their personal life, you know, it means a lot. It definitely means a lot, but I just felt like there was a lot missing in terms of sports media coverage, and it's a lot of platforms, a lot of content creators that's pushing the content out there, like, listen to me, but it's not too many that's pulling the fans in. And like I said, in this digital realm, you always had sports radio, and you know, there's people that call into the show, but they got to dodge the commercials, they got to wait in line, you know, for a long time. You might have 5 minutes of Knicks coverage. Mm-hmm. With me, you get an hour and a half.
Yeah.
From there, we're gonna take a couple clips from that. That's going to go on Instagram. That's going to go on Facebook. That's going to go. So we feeding you wherever you're at and whatever in the type of content that you can consume.
Let me ask a question. So supposing me or Ed would call in your show. I don't want to talk Knicks right now. I want to talk about championship across the bridge. You want to disconnect us?
If you come with respect, and we get them.
I'm respecting the trophy.
He's just a bandwagon hopper. Anybody who's winning, he's on.
If it ain't a Knick, all right. If it ain't a Knick,
yeah,
you get disconnected.
Shortly after. But if you come with respect, I'll let you run.
All right, we'll invite you to the parade. You can wear your Knick.
Just don't read the check, because the check going to roast you.
The parade down Fulton Street.
Exactly.
In the back of a pickup truck. but now, listen, we get, you know, fans from other teams that'll call in, right, that'll tune in, and we welcome everybody.
Because at the end of the day, it's about Knick, but it's a sports show.
That's all it is.
So who do you see as your competition? Because there's a couple of y'all out there, because I follow about, I wouldn't say four or five, might not be on the same level of subscribers as Knicks Fan TV, but you got one guy out in the West Coast. I'm not going to say who he is, but
West Coast.
That CK.
Oh, that's my guy.
That's your guy.
Yeah.
So I know that's not your competition. Yeah. But then there's a few others that are starting to pop up now. Do you look at them, or do you just, you're so focused on Knicks Fan TV, you don't even think about the competition?
Yeah, I just have tunnel vision, bro. Like, I don't even, you know, I don't really consume anybody else's, and that's no disrespect to them. It's just because I'm just so locked in on what I'm trying to do and to move it forward. But at the same time, you know, I embrace collaboration. So with Knicks Film School, with the Strickland, you know, those guys, we kind of created a network just coming up together and doing events together and just collaborating on content together. So I don't really look at them as competition, because I feel like if you're doing that, you're locking yourself off to their audience and their potential, and vice versa. So, you know, rising tide lifts all boats, and that's kind of how I see it. So I don't really look at everybody else's competition. I mean, to be fair,
I think that the way you do Knicks Fan TV, the way Macri does Knicks Film School, the way, you know, they do the Strickland, or even the way Sim does Nothing But Knicks, is so different. It's the same because of the content, but they all come at such a different angle that there really isn't much of a overlap or a repetition of services. Like, you know, like Nothing But Knicks, you know, Sim and them will get into X's and O's. Not that you don't, but they'll do a whole show strictly on X, O's, analytics. Like, they'll break down that. How many times he pushed off with his left hand to get the jumper off
different lanes.
They all come from different lanes. So that's what kind of makes it work, to whereas Knicks Fan TV is Knicks Fan TV. If you want a little, you know, you want sports, you want weather, you watch the news. You want to know barometric pressure, you put on the Weather Channel. Like, it's like that. So I think that's why you don't really have a true competitor in the sense of a competitor.
It's not like that. But the funny thing is like the fans will try to create that, you know, especially with me and Sim. They'll be like, oh, y'all beefing, y'all do nothing together. And then I'll send them a clip of that on Twitter, like, yo, read this. And we'll be laughing at it because me and him are cool. You know, me and Sim are cool. We talk all the time. And we're going to talk about collaborating down the road. But fans see us not really working together as, oh, you know, there's competition, there's beef. It's really not like that.
I pity you. You can't leave. You can never leave.
Leave what? The Knicks?
The Knicks. You can. If the Knicks decide to move overnight somewhere, then
we're not like the Nets.
They're not going to be the Omaha
like the
Knicks.
The Nebraska.
We are here. The Nebraska Knicks.
But it never going to happen.
Now, I got one quick question for you. So the two things I want to know, which was one of your greatest interviews that you did? Mm-hmm. And which interview that you want, a person that you would love to interview that you didn't get to interview yet?
The bucket list is always going to be Patrick Ewing, man. I mean, as a Jamaican American, my whole family's Jamaican. I mean, that was really the basis of me falling in love with the Knicks, man, because I came up during that 90s era. And, you know, with Jamaicans, whatever field they're in, whether it's track and field now or basketball, whatever it is, the whole country's behind them. And so when you're coming up in that household, that's how we knew the Knicks, is through Patrick Ewing and, you know, him putting the team on his back, the sweats and the ice pack on the knees and just leaving it all out there on the court. So he's definitely, you know, on the bucket list. We had Spike on. We definitely had Spike on.
Salute.
Last month. So, so that
talk
was
about
another...
the chair incident?
No. I kept it clean.
All positive, bro.
I kept it clean.
Did you have John Stockton yet?
No, not yet. We didn't have Starks yet. We didn't have Starks yet. I would say favorite interview to date. The Harper interview was great, man.
That was another one of my favorite names. That was a good one.
Yeah, and I waited a year. We were trying to connect back and forth. And, you know, he gave me an hour of his time and just he really left it all on the line. You know, talked about the Houston series and coming to the Knicks and what that was like. So I would put the Harper interview up there. The X-Man interview, man, it was incredible. I mean, fans are still watching it to this day. The X-Man interview, I think, all together from the main interview and the subcontent recreated, it was like over 250,000 views on YouTube.
Nice.
There were so many people into that one. So I would put Harper and X-Man right up there.
It's 28 years. Okay. With Charles Smith, Mr. Lee. You know, to this day, is people still talking about that?
Yeah.
28 years ago. My thing is that why don't you have Charles Smith on a live? You'd be surprised how many people will come on that live.
You know what's so funny? The same event that we had Spike on, Charles Smith was there. And they knew the organizers were trying to man hightailed it out the back door.
Listen, before we go to a break, Charles Smith is big in technology. He works on Wall Street. Before the pandemic, people were at the restaurant on Wall Street in suits,
still
like
Demon Hill. Yeah.
You should have made that layup.
He can't live that down.
I'm still joined by CP, the fan franchise, Knicks Fans TV. It's my go-to. I mean, and I say that with respect, not just because you're sitting here. When I want to find Nick information that I want to verify, I'm going to your Twitter, your Instagram. Or I'm pulling up a video or something like that I missed or saw the other night and just let me just make sure if CP is saying it, then it's legit. Now obviously you've gone this thing, 40,000 organic viewers, and then Max Kellerman comes to call. Talk about that whole situation, getting involved with Max and with SNY.
Yeah, it's funny because you know that the fan base looks at the mainstream media. We call it LOL Knicks, right? Mm-hmm. We call it Knicks for clicks in that. You know, the mainstream media, they try to expose the Knicks and harp on the negativity.
Yeah.
But that has given rise to our platform and the independent platforms alike. And so for a while, I was on a rampage going at Michael Rappaport, you know, when he showed up at Barclays in the Nets jersey. Me and him were going back and forth on Twitter and still going back and forth. And
how could you do that to us?
Right.
He was a Knick, yeah.
Yeah.
He's just like you. He run with the
people. Because his man is Durant.
Listen,
his man is Durant.
Oak. He was trying to protest the whole Oakley thing. Yeah, so I had to call him out on that. And, you know, the fans had backed me up. And, with the Kellerman show, you know, they invited me on to talk Knicks, and it went from me and him going at it.
Yeah.
You know,
that was classic, by the way.
That first episode, I appreciate that. Yeah, we went at it. And then they just kept bringing me back.
Yeah.
Bringing me back to talk Knicks. But then we started covering the NBA at large. And it never really was on my list to say, you know, I want to do this on ESPN one day. I want to, you know, have this opportunity. But it really just fell in my lap. And since then, you know, I've been appreciative of it. And then with SNY, I started doing the putback with Ian Begley.
Right.
So SNY has brought me on board.
Right.
And we start covering NBA Knicks content for their YouTube channel. So it's just been a great journey, man. Just been a great experience.
So has now this passion for the Knicks and love for Human and Jamaican roots become your 9-to-5, or is it still like just, you know, my nice compensated hobby, but I still have a business?
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I would say it's transitioning.
Right.
I would say more than a hobby for sure. You know, we have two employees on the team right now, video editor and Super Dave, my producer.
Oh, cool. So we gotta talk Dave offline about compliance, but that's for another
day. All right. Yeah. We'll definitely talk on that. So yeah, we're growing, man. And you know, the contributions from guys like Mr. William and all the advertising and everything, we just reinvested back into the brand, man. And
yes, the James Joe Jones of Reddit when Mike.
And you
calls,
ain't bring no Nick gifts?
I ain't bring no Nick gifts.
Yeah, you ain't bring no
Knicks fan.
You're not a Knicks fan. He's trying to get up and become a fan.
He's a Nets fan.
He just likes free swag.
But trying to get us to become fans.
I think the thing that really endears Knicks fan TV to me, number one, I've been on Knicks fan TV since about 2,200 viewers, I think you had. Mm-hmm. I know you were under 3,000 when I first caught on to it. Mm-hmm. So that was number one. And number two, anything you put your money to, you want to see a visual return, right? You want an ROI. Now, whether it's a physical ROI or if it's a visual, intellectual ROI. And if you've ever, you know, $5, $2, I've done 10. I mean, clearly I'm not Michael Parker with the Super Chats, right?
So Michael Parker's
a whole nother dude, got a budget for Super Chats.
He but got a lot of government
to
money.
Sit and say, you know what? Yeah, I can look through my receipts and say, well, maybe for a given month I gave CP $40. But then you turn around and you see CP at this place, CP at that place. I mean, my background is media, so I can tell, I can look at something and tell when it went from 1080p to 4K, right? So I could tell when sounds are a little crisper. I could tell when calls are coming in a little better. I could tell when I can hear Dave on the phone a little better. So it's everything you put into that, you're physically seeing an immediate
return. And that's even before we get to the quality of the content, right? I don't care how good food is. If the presentation is poor, then
you ain't eating a steak off of garbage. You ain't messing.
Right. You ain't messing with it, right?
Right.
So, but that's the one thing I can say about Knicks Fan TV is that from that perspective, man, you are spot on point.
Appreciate it.
And again, to see it from a black man, it's even more enjoyable to sit here and say, mm-hmm. I'm watching a product that not just rivals the majors, but the majors are calling this man to come talk to them.
He was, listen, we was in Vegas. He was completely upset when you made the trip. He was like, CP ain't coming. Man. I had to break the news to him. I said, he ain't coming. Oh my God.
I thought Santa Claus was there. And that's coming from a Cleveland Cavaliers fan.
Same colors.
The same intensity.
Now, question I got for you right now also. Mm-hmm. Now, would you ever have a conversation with Reggie Miller?
Of course.
That's the one I would like to see, because how he used to be known as the Nick Killer.
He's not known. He was the Nick Killer.
That's the one I want to see you have an interview with him.
It's on the list. It's definitely on the list.
So what do you think about the team this year?
I think, you know, based on who was available in the offseason, I think they took a prudent approach. The front office has shown so far that they're willing to be aggressive but not stupid.
Unlike previous administrations.
Yeah. Yes, they have a bevy of draft picks and young players, but they're not just going to toss it all out the window just to make a black page splash and say, we got Dame. You know, it just doesn't make sense.
Right.
It doesn't make sense. So even in the draft, they try to get up to 13, 14, 15. They wanted Chris Duarte, who went to the Pacers. They wanted Trey Murphy, who went to the Pelicans. They couldn't get up there. So they moved back, got some more draft capital, and got a guy in Quentin Grimes who they believe in.
Right.
Summer League is Summer League, but he showed out.
Listen, I love Quentin Grimes. Obviously, we saw him live, but I remember the kid when he came out, McDonald's All-American with the Kansas, and didn't work out of Kansas, then went to go play at Houston, took him to a Final Four. It's a very good talent. He's a hard-nosed kid. He's got talent, but he's got a dog in him that, you know, it's like, you know what? I'm constantly have to prove myself. The same thing with the kid from
McBride. McBride is going to be the
McBride
one.
McBride played at Press Virginia, so we know what he got with Huggins. Mm-hmm. So the Knicks are drafting and bringing in people that are Knicks players, similar to how Miami does, you know, or San Antonio. It's a certain character of athlete they want, and that's what I like about this team. And while, they're not superstars, you know, you don't necessarily need that one superstar. And if it's not there, don't jump out the window to go get somebody.
Listen, we saw Tibbs. We were sitting right behind Tibbs. We saw Tibbs, and some of the plays, you could see Tibbs was like, I don't even believe why they drafted this mother.
He's very animated with his looks. Yeah, we get that.
I know he was frustrated, man. But like you said, man, with Grimes, McBride, it feels like they now building a culture.
Right.
And they're bringing in good locker room kids that is working hard. Defense is their priority.
Right.
But with McBride and Grimes, they can shoot the ball.
Yeah.
And not just shoot it off the catch and shoot, but shoot it off the dribble, which is something that we've been missing on this team. We have a couple of guys, you know, Rose has showed that. Alec Burks has certainly showed that. But in the playoffs, we got exposed because we didn't have enough shot creators.
Mm, right.
You know, RJ has to work on that side of his game. But in this offseason, they really prioritize that and bringing in Fournier, drafting Grimes, McBride, bringing Burks back, Rose back.
Right.
Now you bring in Kemba. So now you have guys that can take the pressure off of Julius, especially Rose, Fournier, Kemba.
Mm-hmm. Kemba is the X factor.
I think Kemba was the most important. So what happens to McKenna is gone, right?
Frank is gone.
And the other, what's the other?
Alfred Payton is
in
Suns. Alfred Payton went to the Suns.
Knox, he's gone?
No. Not yet. This is Knox's last year.
The Kentucky connection will keep Knox, you know, nurtured in-house, but I don't see a future for him.
What's the use of keeping him on the team? He ain't going to get no run.
I mean,
you never know what could happen. You might need a body. He's got a shot. The kid's got a shot.
You got to fill out the roster some way.
Yeah. You need a new enforcer. Come in there and foul.
Would you prefer Mello Ball?
he in L.A. now.
Leangelo Ball.
What do you think about now Carmelo now being in L.A.? You think that's going to work? Because LeBron is a very high-maintenance guy.
I think it was 2 years too late. They should have brought him in when they went to the bubble and won the championship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know what happened there. Mello was out there available. You know, that's your right-hand man. How you bringing Jared Dudley before you bring in Melo?
That made no sense.
That was a little suspect to me because I'm a big Melo fan, and I was hoping he would have won a championship with them. But Lakers right now, it's all or nothing for them right now.
Yeah.
You know, in the investments that
I
they
think
made.
They in search of something now.
Well, again, when you, it, yeah. when you they got a 37-year-old superstar, there's no future. It's about
right.
win now.
Right now.
I mean,
right
so, now. You know, they got the over-the-hill game. But, again, if they monitor the minutes.
Do they? Listen, you got the nut Westbrook. You got AD who can't play a whole season.
Right.
But that's all you really have. And, I mean, yeah, you got LeBron. If LeBron can stay healthy, yeah, he's good.
But look at the West right now.
The West
Denver's,
is crazy.
Denver's dealing with an injury with Murray. He's not coming back. Kay. Kawhi is done.
Ben Simmons is now.
Kawhi is done for the season?
Kawhi, wait, listen, he took a
bruise. I don't think Kawhi comes back.
Took a thigh bruise in San Antonio and sat the whole year out.
Nah, he got hurt, he said.
He's ACL.
Yeah. That's hurt. There ain't no thigh bruise.
No, he had a thigh bruise in San Antonio and had the whole year, so he ain't coming back. So
you still have Utah.
Okay.
The Suns is returning back.
I'm not so on the Suns next year.
I think the Warriors, because what's the name come out? Yeah.
And if the Warriors come out, you better be really scared of them.
But Thompson's back.
But it's also a lot of what ifs. A lot of ifs. Yeah, it's a lot of ifs with L.A. too.
With L.A. too.
Injuries.
You don't know how Westbrook, LeBron, and AD are going to work out. Westbrook is a nut.
Come over to the Nets. It's a lot of baskets here for everybody.
The Nets got enough headaches over there.
No, we don't want them over.
We got the world is flat, man.
You really a Nets fan?
I like the Nets, man.
No, you don't.
When we went to the Nets, hold on. You a Knicks fan, we always went to the Nets and got carte blanche.
Because that's because
we were in the VIP, man.
The Barkees was paying me at the time.
Man. Nope. They begging you to come in here, man.
Facts. They were giving tickets half price. For the playoffs?
Yeah, when James Harden was hawking them.
Yeah, hawking tickets. Buy one, get one ticket.
Show up 20 minutes before game time and sit behind the scorer's table.
I will say about the Barkees. Again, when I was in radio and we would do.
Still is.
Well, we would. No, when I was on the marketing side, we covered net games. So this is when they had Brooke Lopez and it was like half empty. They used to get prime ribs.
ISO Joe.
I mean, like, it was like, you know.
I heard they still do.
Well, I don't know because I ain't involved with it. But I wasn't a fan. That was just my job. They were paying me. So I got to go with the money. I'm going to take another quick break. We'll come back. I want to get your top five all-time people you've seen Nick team.
Joking.
I'm sure we all have. In rodeo, you probably picked.
I have, definitely.
Nat Clifton or something like that with you. But we're going to take a quick break. CP the franchise is Nafi Lounge. Come on back. I kind of want to chop it up with you on your top five. Now, I don't have to ask. Probably should say top four. We know Pat's in there. But
that's his top five.
I would you shut up? I'm talking to CP, right. not you, CP. Talking to this CP.
Yeah,
I know his initials. But your top five, that guys you witnessed from you, not, you know, old school guys, but guys you actually saw play. Mm-hmm. What's your top five? Give me your guards, your center, and your forwards.
Oh, top five Nick plays.
Plays. Yeah.
All right. At the point, top five. Wow.
That's hard.
It could be Walt Frazier.
Yeah.
At
the five, we're going to go Pat.
Okay. Yeah, that's automatic. Easy. That's why I said four. Right.
I'll put Melo at the four.
Okay.
Got to put Melo at the four. Okay. I'm going to put Mason at the three.
Ooh.
Okay.
No Oakley?
Nah, Oakley was a four.
Put Mace.
Nah.
Mace. Put Mace.
That's actually
Mace.
You're intimidating.
And the crowd here goes crazy.
No offense to Oak. No offense to Oak. That interview still, you know. We went 12 rounds with Oak. You know? Hopefully you come back.
Stop the fight, Ron.
Yeah.
Need a free car wash?
I'll put Pat at the five. Uh-huh. I'll put Melo at the four. I'll put Mace at the three. At the two.
Ooh, this is where it gets rough.
Yeah, it's rough, man.
This is rough.
Yeah, I'm putting H2O, man.
Houston.
I'm putting Allen Houston at the two.
Wow.
Mm. I'm putting Allen Houston at the two. No offense to Starks. That was my guy.
That's all about that.
That's rough.
Starks was the first jersey I had.
Mm-hmm.
Game seven, I forgive him. Game six, he took us there. Almost won it. But I got to go Allen Houston, man.
Point guard?
I'll go Harper.
Okay.
Really?
Harper at the point.
Wow.
I'm going to give you mine. And
I wasn't old enough to really see Mark Jackson, and he wasn't here for that long.
Right.
I would love Steph.
That's
that was a dark time.
Yeah.
That was a dark time.
Come on, YouTube. YouTube, Mark Jackson.
The dark day for the Empire.
Yeah, dark day. That was a dark day.
I'm probably a few years older, so I'll start with Pat. I think, obviously, Pat, great Nick. My forwards, I got to go with my all-time favorite Nick Bernard King. Because
Did you see Bernard play?
Yes, hell I did. Yeah. I saw Bernard.
Wait, was it color? Wait, was it color or black and white?
It was color. You,
no, well, in my house, it was black and white.
With the high shorts.
Bernard was special, boy. Yeah. Game face and all. I guess my other forward, I probably go with Oakley. Just because those black and blue. I love Mace. Rest in peace. But Oakley, to me. Guards. Point guard, I'm probably going with Mark Jackson. It's tough because I love Rod. But Rod, when I think about Knicks, Rod's more Bronx for me, mm-hmm. Truman High School, right, right. than it is for the Knicks. So I'm going with Mark. You know, that broom thing still messes him up. We took that broom in Philly.
Yep.
And my shooting guard, this is tough. And I probably will go with Allen Houston because I still can't. I met John Stocks once, and I told him about the 2-for-17 in Houston, and he looked at me like, I can't even use the words.
Who brought this guy in here?
I can't even use the words because we're FCC on some markets. But he looked at me like this, you know. Anyway, and I met LJ. I would say LJ, too, at the four. Six. I mean, the forwards. But his Nick, I'm talking about Nick history.
Right, right.
You know.
He wasn't there long.
But again, he had great moments. So I would go with, also Allen Houston, Tennessee stand-up, and point guard Mark. So, and my favorite all-time Nick is Bernard King, hands down, period. Go ahead, you go.
Well, Patrick Ewing, Hall of Famer. My point guard, Michael Ray Richardson. I don't think Michael Ray gets
the ship
love
be sinking
that all the other Nick get for some reason. Mm-hmm. Shooting guard, I would say Allen Houston, but
we ain't go Rory Sparrow.
I love for some reason Ray Williams, man. Mm. When Ray and Michael was in the, they were the best backcourt. Even Magic Johnson said that was the best backcourt.
Ray Williams was
Ray
special.
Williams and Michael Ray Richardson. Stand up. No so doubt. That's my backcourt. Patrick is in the middle. One of small forwards, Bernard King. But the power forward, I don't know. For some reason, this is going back. But power forward, it would be
Larry Domick.
No, Lonnie Shelton.
Mm.
He was the original enforcer, you know.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think some of the older Knicks from the 70s, the only one they really give love is Clyde. Clyde always did, Earl. But I think that they got to start going back, giving some of the older players some love.
So Dean Memminger was a monster.
Dean Dream, baby.
Dean the Dream was a monster. Mm-hmm. Let me see. For me, obviously it starts with Pat at the five. Oh, man, my four, I'm going to go small ball. My four is going to be Mace because my three is going to be Melo. Two, I mean, I want to go Allen Houston because when he would raise up to fire, that stroke was just smooth.
That 99 run, I think.
Yeah, that stroke, like he'd bang it on you if you slept on him. But he had a Rucker Park jump shot. But you know just call a layup when he rolls up.
There's one thing about Allen Houston: the first three quarters, like the first half, he was on fire. Looked like in the fourth quarter, he would be invisible. Like he looked like he couldn't even make a shot in the fourth quarter.
I like the Ray Williams, Michael Ray Richardson backcourt. However, we don't never get Bernard King if the Knicks don't trade Michael Ray Richardson to Golden State.
That's
so
right.
I put those two together. So if I had to do a sixth and seventh man, they'd be my sixth and seventh man. I want to go Steph, but, man, those were the dark eras.
The lights wasn't even on in the guard.
He was affected with devils like the Wu-Tang song. That's a dark day for the Empire.
Yeah, it was a bad time for the Empire. Yes. So for point, because he got the job done and Melo's not here, if his play didn't highlight what we were doing for about a half a season, I'm going to go, what's your boy name? Who girlfriend called the cops on him because he had
not
Ray Felton.
Ray Felton.
Damn.
Ray Felton.
Wow.
Ray Felton.
Wow.
I'm going to go Ray
Felton. I might have to take all your credit.
Raymond Felton.
He's finished with
the guy that goes through the airport with shotgun? Felton?
I'm going to go big. Rod Strickland is my point guard because Rod Strickland did things with a basketball that I don't think any Knicks point guard really did. Maybe Steph did some things, but Rod Strickland's handles and his grit determination was legit. I'm gonna put Melo at the two. No disrespect to Allen Houston. I'm gonna put Mace at
EA
the three.
Lineup.
I'm putting Oakley at the four, and I'm putting Ewing at the five because I wish you would come into that paint. I tell you right now, you will get destroyed quick, fast, in a heartbeat. Old 88, 90s basketball style. Nobody's coming into that paint with those three down in there. Ewing's probably the softest one out of the three. But with Mace and with Oakley, you're definitely getting a forearm to the head and a right hook to the gut. Easy. I don't care if LeBron comes down with that 6'8", 260 frame. He's going down just as bad.
We got to get Ed.
Nope. Ed said John Stockton. He was already a legend.
Nope. I'm not a Knicks fan, so nope.
Oh. Drazen Petrovic.
Larry Hughes.
Jason Kidd.
But Eddie
Jason Kidd wasn't. He was a good Knick. One season.
He was a net.
Before we step out of here, CP, let me put this question to you. This is a standard question of mine. If the CP of today, whatever day this is we're conducting this here interview, could speak to the CP of 2016, what would you tell him?
Wow, 2016.
No, the dark days of the Knicks too.
just in terms of the content.
In terms of you talking to you, I don't necessarily have anything to do with the Knicks in particular, but just there was no Knicks fan TV in 2016, mm-hmm. and look at you now. You're almost a global phenomenon. To be fair, there's a Hawks fan TV, so that alone should tell you what Knicks fan TV is.
Yeah.
So if you could talk to you from then, mm-hmm. knowing what you know about everything now, what would you say to you?
I would just say just keep it consistent, just keep it consistent and keep learning. And that's what I tell to a lot of aspiring content creators that, ask for advice, ask for help. You have to keep it consistent because there's going to be days where you're going to have nobody watching. You might have 5 people watching, you might have 10 people watching. But with consistency, you'll learn. And with learning and iteration, you become mm-hmm. better. And you have to invest. In the beginning, you have to invest time. And once you start accumulating resources, then you reinvest those resources and keep it consistent. So that's what I would say. Consistency is the key.
CP, you said all. We appreciate you, bro. Next time, bring Ashley Morris. But real quick, where can people reach out to you?
Yeah, KnicksFanTV.com, YouTube.com/KnicksFanTV, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, KnicksFanTV. Very, very easy.
Brother, we can't thank you enough for coming.
Thanks
love to have you back. Hope we can get you back on.
For sure.
We appreciate the time. CP, the franchise.
Thanks
catch
a lot,
the show.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.